Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, Dr. Kate's Revolution Radio, and this is Mama Cooks, not Dr. Kate. Dr. Kate tonight is partying with her 95-year-old mother, and she's having a great time, and so she is otherwise occupied. She asked me if I would play an encore episode of Paradigm Shift, and the program that she chose is the one with Judge Abbott. And Dr. Kate and Judge Abbott are talking about election fraud. I hope you enjoy the program. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful, blessed evening. And here is the program Paradigm Shift with Dr. Kate and Judge Abbott.
Blog Talk Radio.
for purple mountain majesty. Above the uprooted plain, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for he in liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, and may all success be noble and every gain divine.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. We are delighted to have JBJD again tonight to discuss election fraud in Texas, and we're going to bring her on right now. I'd like to say a special good evening to our soldiers' families, active and retired, and to all the patriots out there, the Tea Party Express, and here we go. I'm going to bring our guest on this evening.
Kate, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi, how are you?
I'm so tired. You know what I was thinking? The last four times I've been on, evidently, according to the listeners, I was so effervescent and so verbose that they jokingly said, oh, I listened to the whole show. It was only 5 minutes. I suspect tonight might seem more like an hour and a half.
Very good. Well, I doubt it, because you've got a lot of stuff to go, but I want to welcome you, JBJD, and thank you for taking some time out of your schedule. And regardless of how exhausted you are, we're just delighted to have you here. And we've got a lot of people in the chat room already. And so let's catch up. You know, at the last time we talked, JBJD, towards the end of your discussion, we were talking about what actions could be taken in Texas. In addition to the, you know, the demonstrations and so forth. But I wanted to catch our listeners up with the information you've received in the last week from some of your readers, various actions, and just pick up where you left off. I'm a willing listener and ready to learn.
Okay, and I count on your questions, because I think you have the same kinds of questions that other people would have. So let me try this. Before I begin the technical stuff, I want to give a general overview of what I've been doing so that people who aren't that familiar with the intricacies of the work will have an idea who I am and what I've been trying to do on the blog, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Beginning in the summer of 2008, when a lot of us were quite concerned that somebody we believed was constitutionally ineligible to be president would actually get the job. We were very frustrated, we were angry, we were panicky. How do we prevent this person from becoming the next president? We are convinced he is constitutionally ineligible for the job. In the summer of 2008, the only thing I could think of, I already knew that there was no provision in any law that would prevent such an outcome, even though the Constitution says that the president has to be a natural-born citizen, 14 years in the country, 35 years of age. I had done enough research that I realized there's no state or federal law that mandates, that requires anybody has to check. So I'm still trying to think, okay, well, then how do you keep him out of the White House if nobody has to check? The platform or the delegate rules of the Democratic Corporation say our nominee has to be constitutionally qualified. But that's just a private club, so they'd already broken so many rules, they could do whatever they wanted. So that wasn't going to guarantee that the candidate would be constitutionally qualified. So how am I going to keep this guy, I think, is constitutionally ineligible out of the White House? And the thing I came up with is there are some states, I found them in the summer of 2008, a couple of states, and I found them when I was looking for something else. I had stumbled upon the fact that there are some states that say during the primary and caucus when you elect a delegate pledged to a candidate, some states passed laws that said that candidate must vote for that delegate, rather, must vote for the candidate to whom the delegate was pledged at the convention. So I was looking for those states. And in doing that, I stumbled upon these laws that said, in this state, if you have your name on the ballot, you have to be eligible for the job. And I thought, well, that's how to get them off, how to keep them out of the White House, keep them off the ballot. Even though, as we all know now, or anyone who listens to me knows, we do not elect the president in November. We only elect the electors. But there's no way, I figured, then, when I was naive, that the electors in December would possibly vote for a person who hadn't even made it to the ballot in November. So I thought if we keep this man we believe is ineligible off the ballot in November, the electors will never elect him in December. And I stumbled upon these laws in some states, not every state, but just some of them, have these laws that say you have to be eligible to be on the ballot. And I thought, wait a second, there's no documentary evidence anywhere in the public record that establishes this guy's even a citizen, let alone natural born. So how is anybody going to determine this guy's eligible? They can't. So contact the secretaries of state or whoever is the chief election official in that state that has that law and put in a challenge to getting his name on the ballot. Now, there is no law or no provision that says anybody has to check that the person is eligible, but the law says you have to be eligible. Well, legalistically speaking, if you certify the name of the candidate, you're essentially saying he's eligible. I'm certifying he's eligible. And I've checked. So the problem was that realization about the way to keep this man out of the White House, assuming he's ineligible, is to keep him off the ballot. In those states that have those laws, in those states that allow challenges of this type, by the time all, even if you could have done that in a timely way, there's no state that mandates that you the election official has to investigate the ballot challenge. It's discretionary. And so if you think you have a valid challenge and the election official thinks it's invalid, you can still go to court. I mean, we're talking a whole long, drawn-out process that's way past the election time, right? Even if we got the word out, which was not feasible because my realization came too late, and nobody else I found throughout the whole blogosphere was mentioning these issues. Okay. So my goal then all along was to keep this man out of the White House by keeping him off the ballot. Okay? Was that clear so far? Kate?
Hang on. No. Yes, hang on. JBJD, my apologies. Yes, that was clear. You've given a great background. Just to let you know and my listeners know, I put myself on mute, so I can not only hear
fine.
You. And there's usually a 2 or 3 second delay, so no need to worry. You're
okay.
Not talking to nobody. Everyone's listening.
Okay.
And the background is there. And I would ask you just to be specific about the, you know, what you found about Pelosi and her role and so forth, and then let's get to Texas.
Okay.
So at whatever pace that you want.
Okay. So, well, what I want people to keep in mind is the ultimate goal before he was in office was to prevent him from getting into office. So once he was in office, the goal changed, okay? The goal changed to get him out of office. Before he was in office, before he was on the ballot, the option to keep him out of the White House was through the ballot challenges. Once he became the nominee and he got onto the ballot, the way to keep him out of the White House was to make sure he didn't win the election, or that his electors didn't win the election. Once his electors won the general election, the way to keep him out of the White House was to convince the electors that there's no evidence of his eligibility. Do you see? So at every step before he was sworn in, the motivating factor was, what can we do at this point to prevent him from getting in? Okay? And that thing that we could do changed depending on the step in the process. Now, once he was sworn in, I thought, I have to get him out of there as soon as possible, because by then I learned that Nancy Pelosi, the chair of the 2008 DNC Services Corporation Convention, also the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, making her third in line of presidential succession, she is the one who signed the certifications of nomination that said this guy is constitutionally eligible for the job. Now, yes, it's true that in Hawaii, the state law in Hawaii said you have to actually put that word constitutionally eligible in the certification that goes to state election officials that says this is the name we want you to print on the ballot. In South Carolina, they certified that Obama was eligible in the primary, the presidential preference primary. Most states, individuals who want to enter the primary enter on their own, but in some states you enter through the party anyway. So in South Carolina, their state law also says, just like Hawaii's, you have to certify that the candidate is eligible. I'm sure there are other states that have individual state laws that say you have to write this down. But even in those states that don't require you to specifically say that, when you write in the certification, the guy is duly nominated, it means those are terms of art. That means something. It means you are nominated according to the requirements that were due under our charter or whatever. And so the Democratic charter says the candidate must be constitutionally qualified. So even if you don't put in the word constitutionally qualified and you say he's duly nominated, it's the same difference. So at any rate, I knew there's no documentary evidence in the public record that establishes he's qualified. So on what basis did these people establish he was qualified? So I thought, that's how to get him out of there. Get the people who certified him for election fraud, criminal election fraud. If all these people out there are looking for evidence of his eligibility and they can't find it, how the hell did Nancy Pelosi find it? How did Boyd Ritchie in Texas find it? He's the one who signed the certifications in Texas. How did Alice Germain, the secretary of the corporation, how did she co-signed Nancy Pelosi's certifications? All right. How did Joseph Sandler, who submitted the cover letter in South Carolina for the general election and say, you know, here are our candidates, how did they all determine this guy's eligibility when I and hundreds of thousands of others couldn't? So I said, in those states where you're supposed to be eligible to be on the ballot, they lied. That's fraud. They can't have ascertained, based on evidence in the public record, that he was eligible before they signed the certification.
Let me just interject right there, because two aspects of this. Everyone is also looking at, you know, if we don't get Obama out one way or another before 2012, this is the way to keep him off the ballot. And in every state, this is absolutely key that we keep a track of that. And secondly, now that we have this piece in Texas, which JBJD will get at, it's important that we keep on track of this. This election fraud is not over, and it can, in my view, this is. As JBJD was just saying, this is not a direct attack on the eligibility issue. It is very difficult to do that. But ever, you look the other way to do this, and this is right as she is saying right at the beginning, how did they ascertain this if nobody else did? Thank you for letting me interject and then...
But that was the common sense thing. I said that in June
right.
of 2008. I said the strongest evidence he has to prove he's eligible is a computer image. You can only see this through a computer screen. That's nothing. People, you don't abandon your common sense. The guy's not eligible, and this is the best evidence he has, and it's nothing. As everybody knows by now, thank God I saw this. In January of 2009... Now White House counsel Bob Bauer established I was right. He proved I was right because he put that sneaky little footnote. I'm gonna hit that in just a second. Let me just continue to tell you what's been happening. So my goal since Barack Obama was sworn into office was to get him out. And the way to get him out, because I believe he was legally made president, everybody who reads me knows this. The Constitution says that the state will appoint electors, and we did. The Constitution says the electors will vote for the president, and they did. The Constitution says Congress will ratify the vote of the electors. It doesn't say you have to make sure that they vetted the candidate. Basically, it's a procedural certification. Did they do things the way they were supposed to? Do you have only one ballot from each state? You know, it's a procedural. So it was really a formality. The vice president, it didn't have to formally say, does anybody have any objections? Let's wait 5 minutes and see if anybody raises a hand. No, people know how to make objections to any vote. You know, it goes very fast there. Anyone could have objected. So everything went according to the Constitution. So as far as I'm concerned, the man was legally elected the president. Case closed for me. All right? That means I can only get him out of there through the process of impeachment. And that is something that has to be introduced by the House of Representatives. Given their overwhelming response to constituents who raised concerns before the swearing-in that this guy's not constitutionally eligible, the mem that came from the Congress was, but fact check said he was, so that's good enough for us. Well, given that, I thought there's no way they are going to, on their own, initiate articles of impeachment, no matter what we tell them. But the way to get them to initiate articles of impeachment, which would start the formal investigation to see what is the legal status of this person, would be to get one of the states to trigger that by an investigation into this election fraud. Any public official who would look into this could trigger that. If the press would pick it up, that could trigger the articles of impeachment. But remember, again, the end goal for the swearing-in was to keep them out. And once he was sworn in, to get him out, all right? So the way I said to get him out is through this election fraud, because everything else was legal. But swearing somebody's eligible before you ascertain he is, that's election fraud in those states that say he has to be eligible to be on the ballot. All right. Now, elections are a state-by-state issue. So every state has individual laws. So what I had to do, if the state had a law that said you have to be eligible to be on the ballot, I had somebody from that state ask the state election officials to provide all of the documentation that was provided, just perfunctory. And then we found out in that way who submitted the certification, who signed the certification that was submitted. And it turns out in Texas, the only person who signed the certification and submitted it was Boyd Ritchie, who is the chair of the Texas Democratic Party, the TDP. He's also a lawyer. He's been the TDP chair since 2006, but he's always been a muckety-muck in the party. All right. So in Texas, you have the situation where the state party chair signed the certification that got the name of Barack Obama on the ballot in a state where the candidate must be eligible for the job to be on the ballot. Well, I love that, because it's much easier to go after the chair of a state party than the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. All right? So that's how I started looking at Texas and Boyd Ritchie. Now I'm going to stop there and just make sure that everyone's on the same pathway here. And I'll give you your few minutes lag time, a few seconds rather. I just need a verification that this makes sense. Or maybe not. All right, let me stop for a second and just mention something. There are several other people who are looking at other ways to somehow establish that Barack Obama is not a natural-born citizen. I am not trying to establish he's not a natural-born citizen. I think that's irrelevant. He was lawfully elected. He didn't do anything wrong. Yes, I know if he signed a document, he committed fraud. If he signed the application to get in the Arizona primary, where he signed the document that said I'm a natural-born citizen, I understand that could be a violation of law. That's not what we're going after here. He was lawfully elected, so I can't get him for being lawfully elected, you see. But I can get somebody to look at whether he committed fraud to get into office by pointing the attention to Nancy Pelosi or Boyd Ritchie or Joseph Sandler or any of these other people who were involved in the certifications, all right? Some people were going after his birth certificate, and I want to digress for a second because of something somebody wrote on a blog today. I had written a long time ago, in fact, as most of you know, whenever somebody would initiate a case ostensibly aimed at getting documents from Obama or about Obama, I would comment and say, this is a waste of your time and energy because of this and this and this. And I was very clear, this is not the way to go. If you want to out him, trying to compel document production is not the way to go. And one of the things that happened is people went to Hawaii to try to get his records from the Hawaii Department of Health. And this started, it must have been in 2008. I contacted Andy Martin. I didn't know who he was at the time, except that I knew he'd gone to Hawaii to try to compel the production of these records. I said, and he was arguing something about this is going to be historical, and so we should waive the confidentiality of records laws in Hawaii, whatever. And I said, no. Barack Obama used a document he said was from Hawaii with an official seal on it. He used that document to establish, according to what he wrote around the document, that he was a native citizen of this country. He said, that's proof, and I got this from the Department of Health in Hawaii, and this is evidence that I'm a native citizen. Of course, the constitutional requirement is natural born, but that aside, I said to Andy Martin, you know what to do? There's a simple civil procedure. It's called, or it's an argument, it's called estoppel, all right? And it's basically an argument that says, if you benefited from doing something by taking advantage of your confidentiality, whatever, if you derived some benefit, some tangible benefit, like a presidency, out of representing that this is an official document, my official, and you put it on the website where nobody can refute it, nobody can see it or touch it or say, no, it's not, you don't get to benefit from that. That's unjust enrichment. You don't get to say, if I want to see it, oh, don't let her see it because it's my private confidential documents. You don't get to do that now. You've waived that. You are estopped from claiming protection under the law that allowed you to benefit, but nobody else gets to check. Do you see? And that's a standard legal kind of argument, estoppel. So you do some conduct, you can't then use the same argument to prevent me from viewing that. Andy didn't listen, nobody listened. Fast forward now to 2010. And I don't remember whether it was a particular case that's current or somebody asked a question. I don't remember, but somebody who posts on another website said, don't you remember? JDJD said, since Obama posted the document, he can't now say it's private. And I thought, see, somebody's listening. If you do want to go after the documents, you can't go after Occidental because they're private. They don't have to. You have no authority to make them show anything. But if you want to go after the documents, and I don't recommend that or not. But that's the way to do it. Make a good legal argument, but don't try to argue, I get to see it because I'm right, or I get to see it because he's my president, and I get to. No. Use a legal argument and not an emotional one. Now, so go back to these, to Texas, to Boyd Ritchie. So here I am focusing on Boyd Ritchie because he's a lone star. I said he's a lone star. He's a party chair. I know he has the backing of the whole DNC, but he's alone in Texas and he signed that document. And if he committed election fraud, he's going down. That's his whole career. That's everything. That's criminal election fraud. So I decided to go after Boyd Ritchie. And the way I did it was I looked at Texas laws very carefully, and I said, oh, my God, Texas offers a way to go after the party that a lot of other states didn't offer. Something about the Texas, they passed these laws, and two laws in particular are the money load. One law says, in Texas, the political party chair can be considered like a public official for certain purposes. And one of those purposes is, if he is required to do something by law, if there's a law in Texas that says the party, the chair of a political party must do this, 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 unlike almost every other state I looked at, in Texas, you can use that cause of action called mandamus to get the chair of the party to do what the law says he's supposed to do. Now remember, all those other cases that were brought under this cause of action called mandamus, Your Honor, force the Secretary of State to vet Obama because she took an oath to defend and protect the Constitution. Well, the court, the judicial branch, is not going to violate the governmental separation of powers. The court is not going to order the executive branch, which is the Secretary of State, to do a particular job unless the legislative branch has written into the law, this is your exact job. So we're talking basic governmental separation of powers. The courts do not like to breach the separation of powers unless something specifically in the law says this is how you must vet the person. So all those cases failed because, as I said, no law says anyone has to check, no provision of any law. But in Texas, you can use mandamus if the law says that the chair of the party, for example, has to certify the candidate is eligible then you could use mandamus to say, well, let me use a different example. If it says you have to submit the certification on who's going to be on the ballot and the person isn't submitting it, the party can order him, submit it, that's the law. You can use mandamus. The other law in Texas that's different for political parties from every other state is, in Texas, if the political party by law must produce a document, the document is a public record under the public records law. I'm going to say that again. You know how you want to get the government records because citizens are entitled to see how the government works, and nobody could get records from the D Corporation when they wrote to Nancy Pelosi and Alice German, and they used this kind of generic, under the public Freedom of Information Act, can we get the records? And the general counsel, Joseph Sandler, then general counsel, wrote back and said, we're not a public agency, so we're not subject to public records laws, but you can ask your election officials and blah, 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 blah. Well, in Texas, Boyd Ritchie is subject to the public records law in Texas. So that makes that unusual. So we have those two things, mandamus and public records law, so he's subject to both. All right? So, besides asking Boyd Ritchie, which we did in every state, can you show us what documents you used I forget how we phrased it, but we asked him for the documents that were the basis of his certification to state election officials that Barack Obama was qualified to be on the ballot. And he ignored us when we just asked. And then I said, okay, now we're going to ask him under the public records law. All right? So we formally asked him under the public records law. And his assistant said, we're not going to tell you, and our lawyers said we don't have to. Now, the only reason that I bothered to ask for the records, I knew that he couldn't give them to me because they don't exist. There aren't any records that would establish the guy's qualified, right? As of August 27th when the certifications were signed. I don't care what anybody said or did after that, all right? That's important too. August 27th of 2008. The only reason I asked for these things, I don't want them. They don't exist. Why did I write it all up? Why did I make such a big deal of it? Because I wanted the Attorney General of Texas to investigate the charge that Boyd Ritchie committed election fraud. And how am I going to get him to do that if I don't spell out, if I don't make it easy? It's already, the chances were not great that he's going to exercise his discretion to risk his political career on investigating complaints that the chair of the Texas Democratic Party perpetrated election fraud. Obviously, if he perpetrated fraud in Texas, then Obama wasn't eligible anywhere, right? So I wanted to dot all the I's and cross the T's and give him a case that was so clear, that was an overwhelmingly strong circumstantial case that says this guy committed fraud. And all I wanted him to do was investigate. I'm not trying to prove a case. The citizens who filed them were complaining witnesses. They were saying, hey, a crime's been committed. Here, I'll write it down for you here. Please investigate. That's all. I wasn't saying that Boyd Ritchie committed election fraud because he wouldn't produce documents that he was required to produce. I didn't set up a mandamus case, write up a mandamus case and say to the citizens of Texas, go to court and order him to produce these documents. Why bother? There aren't any documents. I don't want the documents. I want Attorney General Greg Abbott to investigate the charge of election fraud. Okay, so that's why I went through all those machinations. All right, I'm not arguing that Boyd Ritchie violated the Texas Open Records Law. Okay. Well, people were getting so angry that nothing was happening. So angry. So you have all of these various lawyers or quasi-legal people over the internet doing fundraising and oh, I need to file this suit, and give me money, and da-da-da-da. And that made me so angry because it's your own government who is not enforcing these laws. You pass these laws. They're on the books. If you can't get your own government to pass laws already on the books in your state, what difference does it make if you enact new laws and elect new officials? They'll see how easily you can be ignored. So you have to get them this time. You have to get this one. You have to show them, I might not have known as much as you did when you stole my power, but I know now. You can't steal it again. If we can't, okay. So that's the citizens' complaints of election fraud in Texas. As people are getting angrier and angrier, I'm saying, why are you counting on all these other people to fight your battles? If you want to get mad at people, get mad at the Republicans in Texas. Because I found out that in Texas, God bless these laws, who would imagine? In Texas, in 2006, Boyd Ritchie filed suit against the Republican Party of Texas to keep Tom DeLay on the ballot. The Republicans knew he wasn't going to run again, and he moved to Virginia, so they wanted him off the ballot. He'd won the primary for Congress, but they wanted to take his name. They wanted to tell the Secretary of State, don't put his name on the ballot. We'll give you a good candidate. And the Democratic Party said, you can't declare he's ineligible. This is May or June of 2006. You don't know where he's going to be living in November. The Constitution only says that the congressperson has to live in the state on the day of the election. You can't add a new qualification for Congress. And the Texas Democratic Party took the Republican Party of Texas to court and won. The court ordered the Republican Party not to declare Tom DeLay ineligible. I thought, wait a second, all of you people who are letting the Republicans off the hook, why aren't they fighting for you? Why aren't they filing a suit against the Texas Democratic Party to go into court and tell the court to order Boyd Ritchie to declare now Barack Obama is ineligible for 212? Because while Tom DeLay's residency could be decided on the day of the election, natural-born citizen status can be decided right now. It doesn't change retroactively or prospectively. So Boyd Ritchie could declare Obama ineligible right now. And under Texas law, when the ineligibility of a candidate is, the words are, conclusively established, when the ineligibility of the candidate can be conclusively established in the public record, then under Texas law, the chair of the party must declare he is ineligible. All right? Must declare. So I thought, I want to show everybody that the Republican Party is as culpable as anybody else. I could have done it very simply by saying that in Texas the law says if the record establishes a candidate is ineligible, then by law the party chair must declare he's ineligible and the Republicans could bring a lawsuit or something like that. But that wouldn't have been enough because I wanted to make it clear, just like with the citizens' complaints of election fraud to A.G. Abbott, I wanted to make clear to anybody out there who's reading, see, the Republicans could have done this, and they're not doing it. I didn't want the Republicans to say, oh, well, but no, there are reasons that we can't. Bull, you can do it too. So, all right, so I spelled out this whole case, all right? And it turns out I had to think of what could conclusively establish in the record that Obama is ineligible. You can't make the chair of the Republican Party of Texas a fact finder. In other words, I couldn't put up a case where she would have to say, well, if you look at this record and then you look at this record and, well, can I just have this record? No, you can't do that. You have to say to the court, look at this. This establishes that he's ineligible. I thought, what is the quickest, cleanest way to do that? Well, it would be great if there's a law that says, if this, then this. If it's spelled out in the law, all right, that this is what would make a person ineligible. This, you can't find that. But then, you know what I thought? Boyd Ritchie didn't submit those records under the Texas Open Records Law. And guess what? There's a case, a legal case. So there's not a statute, but there's a legal case in Texas that came from the Supreme Court of Texas. I think it was in 2000. All right? It's still good law. It's the Supreme Court of Texas. And it says, under certain circumstances, if you had a duty to disclose something and you didn't disclose it, by law, we're going to interpret that to mean you lied. Right? I said, that's it. Under Texas law, Boyd Ritchie had a duty to disclose those documents. In the law, it says that. He's a public official for the purpose of documents that are required by law, and certifying is required by law anyway. So I said he's a public official, and he had a legal obligation, that's the duty, to disclose his documents, and he didn't. So when he said Obama is eligible, but he won't provide the documents, by law that means he's ineligible. The Republican Party needs to go into court and say, this is the conclusive establishment that he's ineligible. Now use mandamus and order Boyd Ritchie to declare under the law that he's ineligible. I in no way was saying that, let me just stop there for a second. The purpose of putting this out there was to say the Republicans are as culpable of enabling this fraud as the Democrats were for perpetrating it. All right? Even Stephen, as far as I'm concerned. So get off the backs of the Democrats and elevating the Republicans. They're all a pox on both their houses, all right? Now, I decided to put this work out there in the world, because nobody's ever really evaluated my stuff. People disagree with it emotionally. No, we want the documents. No, we want, but they've never actually ripped apart the work. So I put it out there. And where did I put it? Well, I put it on PolitiJab. I put a variation of my post that said Judge Abbott could order TDP Chair Boyd Ritchie to declare Barack Obama is ineligible. Oh, by the way, so the judge from the Supreme Court of Texas who signed that decision that found that where there's a duty to disclose, non-disclosure is tantamount to a lie, the judge who signed that is none other than Greg Abbott, who's now the Attorney General of Texas, and he's Republican. There's my proof. He won't investigate the citizens' complaints of election fraud, but he knows that Boyd Ritchie should have disclosed those documents. That's all in the citizens' complaint. So Greg Abbott knows that Boyd Ritchie, because he wrote the decision, is essentially saying, yeah, he's not eligible. So any of you who want to exonerate the Republicans, yeah, Boyd Ritchie's Republican, and he wrote that decision. I mean, Greg Abbott, sorry. Anyway. So, PolitiJab had a feeding frenzy. Oh, my God. And you know, when you put comments on my blog, you know I don't like hyperbole on the blog or name-calling or all that. You know that. You've seen me edit your comments. And some of you probably submitted these things in the heat of emotion and wish you could retract it anyway. But I want the blog to be informational. I want people to learn how our government works so people can't keep stealing our power, people who know more about how it works than we do. So I don't want people to be off-put by other things. And some of you send me links, and then I omit them because I don't want to send people to places I don't trust either. That's fine in other circumstances, but not on this blog. This blog has to be good. Has to be just straight talk. So, PolitiJab is not that way. And I stayed on that blog because when I'm talking to people who've been reading my blog, I'm preaching to the choir. But people who haven't considered alternate views, they need, those are the ones I want to talk to. So they were. I was there for like 3 hours. It was horrible. And they continued on when I left, and they got a dozen pages of the just on and on. The name calling, the and what kind of, and that person should keep her day job. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the person who tries to indoctrinate children? They were talking about the out of the mouths of babes posting. Maybe she shouldn't keep her day. It was horrible. And then I got this comment on my blog, and it said, come over here, people, and see how we rip. She doesn't know anything about the law, and she doesn't know anything about what's a motion to dismiss versus a summary judgment or something like that. And then they said something about it's all about the scary black man in the White House. Well, that did it. I read that comment. I said, you know, it's bad enough that you're being rude. Or speaking to me that way, or tearing apart my work. But you're coming to my blog, and you're talking to me, the mother of a black son, and you're going to bring out your stupid cries of racism to me? Who are these people? So I said, I need to do my own post. I need to take cull out of 12 pages of the stuff that they wrote and clarify it so anyone else who doesn't know what I'm doing doesn't get the wrong impression. Plus, Georgetown JD made the mistake of putting a comment on the blog, on Scrib, that also criticized the work, and he made the same mistake they did. I said, okay, I'll combine everybody. Everybody will see it, and now I've been peer-reviewed. Now, remember, I don't care about the Texas Open Records Law. A criminal complaint has nothing to do with that. It has to do with election fraud. And the election fraud wasn't that Boyd Ritchie wouldn't produce documents. It was that he certified somebody was eligible to get on the state ballot before he ascertained the eligibility. That's the fraud. So Georgetown JD and several other people said, well, Boyd Ritchie had no obligation to produce the documents. So there's no fraud, so your citizen complaints are going to fail. No, they're not civil complaints that citizens brought into court with them. I said, think of them as victim witness reports. So you could call them citizen complaints of election fraud to Attorney General, or you can call them victim witness reports of a crime, okay? As far as the Republican Party of Texas, suit or lawsuit or scenario that I put on there. I can't bring that suit. You can't bring that suit. Only the chair of the Republican Party of Texas has standing to bring that suit. And that person is not saying that, is not arguing fraud, that Boyd Ritchie committed fraud. That person is saying, I have a record that conclusively establishes Obama is ineligible. You see, they're not suing them for civil fraud. They're saying, I want you to order the Democratic Party of Texas to declare Barack Obama is an ineligible candidate because the record conclusively establishes he's ineligible. And what is the record that conclusively establishes? The authenticated request for documents from Boyd Ritchie directly related to the certification. And the affidavits from the people who called the office said, well, where are they? And the office saying, we don't have to tell you. Okay. Well, people went crazy. He has no duty. I said, look, they said the Democratic Party is not a government entity. He's not a government official. I said, look, there's a case, the LULAC case, LULAC versus the Democratic Party of Texas, that said that the Democratic Party unlawfully allocated delegates to districts in Texas under the Voting Rights Act. I'm not going to go into that case, but I said, it's a federal case, and I said to Politijab, look, the principal has already been sustained by the federal courts in LULAC v. TDP, the principle of calling political parties, government entities, okay, or political subdivisions, that principle has already been established. Well, KBGD is so stupid, she doesn't know the difference between a federal law and a state law, and then somebody actually went out of his or her way to walk me through and said, okay, you found a federal case that says this, now you have to go and find a state. Well, I had left something out on purpose. And what I left out was this. And I told you all that under Texas law, the chair of the state party can be a public official, and under Texas law, mandamus can be used to compel production. What I didn't say is where in the law that provision is. I just said it exists. So people assumed I was looking at the open records law, and when they did not see explicitly that public official is defined as blah, 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 it didn't say the chair of the state political party. It didn't say that. So the first big mistake is assuming that I need to prove that Boyd Ritchie had a duty to give these records, and he didn't. I don't need that. That would be the quickest way to establish that the record conclusively establishes Obama is ineligible. But there are other ways to do that, too. But nobody's suing Boyd Ritchie for not producing records. There's no fraud there that we're going after. But what people forgot to do is they forgot to look in the other part of the law that talks about political parties or political party officers. They forgot to look there and see what the requirements are over there. And if you look over there under political parties and elections and all that, you find exactly what I told you. Reference back, oh, in this case, we're going to call, when he acts like a public official for the purpose of our elections, we're going to call him a public official. When he produces documents pursuant to acting like a public official, we're going to call them public documents. When he does those things, we're going to say that he's subject to mandamus the same as a public official. It was all over there, but they were all looking over here. And they couldn't wait 12 pages, the last I counted, and that was days ago, to tell me that how stupid and horrible, and they named the other attorneys whose names you would recognize as, oh, she's just like them, she's just like them. All right, only I'm not. Only I knew exactly what I was talking about. So I put all that in my latest post that says idioms. And that's a very important post to me because of the thousands of people now who pounced on me like a feeding frenzy, like sharks in the water to blood, all right? Of all of those people, the one of the two biggest legal problems they found was there's no duty to disclose. Of course, that's not an issue. In either one of these scenarios, each of which scenario was only intended to trigger the attention of the House of Representatives to initiate or to introduce articles of impeachment to begin the formal investigation as to who is this person. And how can you get him out of there when I said he got in there legally? You get him out of there because he perpetrated fraud to get in. That's how you get him. On the fraud. That's when you get him on the fraud. Okay. Let me go look at the time. Okay.
Hang on. Yeah, you're fine. Let me interject here just for a second. So basically, you've marked a clear path to get there. And it sounds like the only people to have standing to bring this would be the Republican Party?
The Republican Party of Texas.
Of Texas.
Has to be the chair of the state party. Except at a certain point, candidates are going to have standing to do it too. And they had standing back in the fall of 2008.
So any other candidate who was there for the same office also had standing to do
yes.
that. And they still have standing now to do that.
No. Because the 2008 election is over.
But so someone has standing now to basically force
only
that
disclosure. It depends. It depends. And I haven't – it depends. Because what gives the person the standing is – what gives the candidate – I'm sorry, the same standing in the eyes of the court as the chair of the party is that both want to win. So if you – I'm not sure if you have to have already won the primary because then you want to win the election. Do you see?
So
but if it comes to winning the primary, you are contesting with other candidates from the same party. So you don't have standing at that point.
So it's the chair of the Republican Party of Texas.
Today has standing.
Today. So see, I'm asking for that clarification because I want to know whose house to demonstrate around. Anyway, please keep going. This is just fascinating. Please keep going.
And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but the current chair of the Texas State Party, the Republican Party of Texas, the RPT, hold on a second. The current chair of the RPT was interviewed in the summer of 2009. It seems that she wants the Democrats, I said this, the Democratic Party, she wants them renamed the Democrat Socialist Party. And Michael Steele is like, this is ridiculous, whatever, but she is a Republican committee woman who was endorsed for that position by Phyllis Schlafly from the Eagle Forum. So... And all these people who were trying to oust Obama's ineligibility and who laud the conservative, we need more conservatives. Well, here is your conservative. And her concern all that summer was, how can we pass a resolution to rename the Democrat Socialist Party? Meanwhile, they could have brought suit to get him out of the White House, but whatever. So... yeah, you can look up her name. I don't have it at my fingertips right now. But at any rate, so here's the other thing, all right? So the chair of the Republican Party of Texas has standing now to go to court and use the same steps that the Democrats used in 2006 to keep delay on the ballot. She can go in 2010 and use the same steps to keep Obama off. Plus, once there's the presidential preference primary and you have a Republican winner, that person has standing to go after the Democrats as well. Because at that point, both the winner of the Republican presidential preference primary and the chair of the party have the same interest, and that is to have them win. Do you see? So they have the same standing. So the courts ruled you can have associational standing vis-a-vis the chair of the party, or you can have the individual candidate standing. All right? Either one can bring the suit. All right. The other thing, and I want you to know, this is hysterical. So the other big legal mistake they said I made, which obviously I was stupid, and other names, was that in 2009 in January, I said Bob Bauer proved that I was right in June, that there is no evidence that Barack Obama, no documentary evidence of the public record, that Barack Obama is constitutionally eligible for the job. And I think most of you have heard this before. When Phil Berg brought the Hollister case, and again, what was funny was I had in November of 08, I don't think courts are the way to go, but I had typed this memo because people were trying to get standing to go into federal court. And I figured out how to get standing in federal court, so I typed up this memo, and I put it online the beginning of November 2008. And it was about how to use a military person who's not – it was National Guard, really, because National Guard is not subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. National Guard is under the jurisdiction of the governor, when you're called up, you're still under the jurisdiction of the governor until you appear, you report, and then you're under the Uniform Code. So I was explaining how to get a person who won't get into trouble, which laws to use, whatever. And shortly thereafter, Phil Berg filed a quote-unquote military case. He used the wrong plaintiff, and he used the wrong cause of action, but he did use military. But the guy was too old to be subject to recall, so he couldn't have standing, because the only person who had standing was somebody who would be subject to risk. But at any rate, the case was bogus, but boy, did it produce a great result. And that is, when Bob Bauer, who was the attorney representing Barack Obama and Joseph Biden, when he submitted his motion to dismiss, he put in a little footnote. Now, let me explain something. When you introduce a motion to dismiss a case, by law, what you are doing is you're saying the following. Assume everything the plaintiff alleges is true. I'm saying he still has failed to state a claim for which you could grant him any relief. And not only that, he's failed to establish that he even has that he has any business being in this court. This court has no jurisdiction in this. So even assuming everything that plaintiff's attorney said is true, kick out the case because he doesn't belong here, and the claim he stated isn't something you can grant relief for. That's a motion to dismiss. You must assume everything the plaintiff said is true. Okay? Not wild truth, but things that seem fact-based, true. All right. Now, when you introduce that motion to dismiss, you give the court the law about motions to dismiss, and then you say why the person has no jurisdiction and has failed to state a claim. Bob Bauer did something extra. And what he did was this. He tried to convert a motion to dismiss into a motion for summary judgment. Now, what is a motion for summary judgment? Very different, apples and oranges. Motion to dismiss, assume everything the plaintiff says is true. Motion for summary judgment says there's some evidence in the record for summary judgment as opposed to the motion to dismiss. There's some evidence that you can submit, and you can say, look at what you have in front of you, Your Honor. There's no way that plaintiff can mount a case with sufficient evidence to prove what he's alleging. All right? This is all there is, and there's no way, no fish, you can't go on a fishing expedition. Either you have enough to bring your case or you don't. So a motion for summary judgment says, look at what he has, Your Honor. He could never establish what he's alleging. So that's a motion for summary judgment. The judge can say, you're right, this is the best case he has, it's not good enough, goodbye. But that means there's evidence in the record. Bob Bauer has no documentary evidence that would support his allegation that Barack Obama is constitutionally eligible for the job. There is no such documentation. So here's Bob Bauer, wants to dismiss this Hollister case, like several other cases he's dismissed, and he introduces a motion to dismiss, but he does something very sneaky. Instead of merely saying, okay, taking all plaintiff's statements as true, plaintiff still has failed to state a claim, but instead of saying just that, he adds in a line. Of course, everyone knows it's ridiculous that Barack Obama is not, of course he's eligible, you silly goose, but even taking everything that the plaintiff says is true. Do you see what I said? I added in this whole thing about, of course he's eligible. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to just say, you know, assume everything the plaintiff says is true. I'm saying, well, we know that's ridiculous because the plaintiff's saying my client isn't eligible and everyone knows he is eligible. And what Bob Bauer did was he put a little footnote, you know, like a superscript. It was just a little one. You might think it was a piece of a speck of dust or something, but it was a number one. And that meant you had to look down below and see what he wrote in the footnote. And what he wrote in the footnote was a reference to evidence. He talked about publicly released his birth certificate, as if there's a birth certificate. He talked about fact check, saw the document, that's evidence. He talked about Hawaiian officials, because this was January 2009, and by then, you know, October they were talking, whatever. That's all in the footnote in a motion to dismiss. I thought, boy, are you slick. Slick, but not slicker than I am. I read that footnote. I said, you got him. In January 2009, if Berg had said that in court, it could have had him. But at any rate, I said, if he's talking about that same computer Kolb to verify that this guy is legit and not use Nancy Pelosi's certification, she's the Speaker of the House, excuse me, of the House of Representatives, for goodness sake. So I don't know what she used in August, but I know in January of 2009, the best thing he could have used was what she used. Because she got the states to print his name on the ballots, for goodness sake. Who the hell cares what fact check says? All right? So the fact that he didn't mention Nancy Pelosi said, I got him. Well, why was he willing to risk his reputation on spewing out this Kolb crap? He didn't call it the Kolb. He said, well, my client publicly introduced a birth certificate, something like that. I said, why is he willing to bamboozle the court on that crap? He might as well have gone all the way and said Nancy Pelosi introduced a certification of nomination that went to the state election officials that got my client's name printed on the general election ballot. Why isn't he willing to risk that? And this is, you know, I very seldom guess or hypothesize. I think what happened was, if he wants to conclusively say my client's for real, enough to get everybody off his client's back, he can put in this crap, whatever, whatever, about Kolb, whatever, whatever. Or he could have put in Nancy Pelosi. But he's defending his client in a civil suit right now. So, yeah, if you put Nancy Pelosi in as evidence in a civil suit, he could have gotten Obama. Everybody would have said, okay, that's the end of it. He's introduced this in court. Obviously, it must be real or he wouldn't have introduced it. But here's the problem. He was the general counsel to the DNC Services Corporation. He was also the lawyer to Obama's presidential campaign. It doesn't matter. But the point is, if he introduces that document, that exposes her to criminal liability for fraud, whatever. So he can't get his one client off in a civil suit by exposing another client to criminal liability. You see, so he's willing to bamboozle the court with fact check and my client publicly produced a birth certificate, but he's not willing to bamboozle the court with Nancy
KBJD?
Pelosi.
Yep. Yes, that I think. I think that is really significant.
Can I just say one more point, and then it's yours. One more point.
Okay.
But the important point in there is that within that footnote, Bob Bauer, he is worth every cent he's getting, all right? Bob Bauer said the court could take notice, meaning I want the court to take notice, which is an evidentiary thing. The court takes notice of something that is pretty easily established as being true. So he was actually asking the court to evaluate evidence. This is summary judgment stuff. This isn't motion to dismiss this. This is summary. So when I said, I know now that Obama is ineligible, or at least his lawyer's saying he is because he did this, and that's when people from PolitiJob said, I didn't know the difference between motion to dismiss versus summary judgment. You can't introduce evidence. What are you talking about? Then that's because you're not as good a lawyer as Bob. I said, you didn't read the footnote, and they hadn't read the footnote. Where does this? And he never, I read the whole case, and he didn't ask the judge to take judicial notice, and I wrote back, here's the line. Now the floor is yours.
It was on page one. the footnote.
Yeah. In the footnote.
Fabulous. Well, a couple things here. There are two significant pieces just within that footnote, both what you're saying, the summary judgment, but also the failure to cite Nancy Pelosi, because all of a sudden the civil thing could become a criminal thing because of the perjury that's happened with Pelosi here. And then a comment from our chat room, the old person in Texas was a Tina somebody, but the new one is Kathy Adams. You were asking for a Texas official?
Ben Kaiser, I think was her.
Ben Kaiser. I didn't know how to pronounce it. And the new one is Kathy Adams.
Yeah.
So I think those are just huge. So I think also what you're saying is that once one of these threads is pulled, like, for example, in Texas, the other ones start coming out as well.
Well, because who?
Meaning Pelosi and meaning the other fraud that happened in the United States.
You know, because, listen, the only thing Boyd Ritchie can say, and I don't like to speculate, but this time I did, because this is so funny. We all know what happened, all right? This is a cat and I was going to swear. This is a cat and mouse game. We all know what happened. It used to be people would say, well, he doesn't have to show you anything because then you just want something else. You know what? Those days are over. Nobody in the PolitiJab onslaught, nobody tried to prove to me that he was eligible. Nobody said to me, people have stopped that argument. There's no argument anymore. You know it's stupid to say that this guy won't produce any records. You know that. That you can't get any records. You know it's stupid to say a computer-generated image is proof of it. You know that's stupid. Now we produce so much documentary evidence to show, it's stupid, and we all know what happened. Now what's it going to take to get you to act? What's the critical mass? Because obviously if he's not eligible in Texas, he wasn't eligible in Illinois. Give me a break, all right? Let me tell you something. Let me just put this out there, okay? In South Carolina, Carol Fowler, the state party chair, types up the list of Democrats entering South Carolina's presidential preference primary. Now, who's Carol Fowler? The wife of Don Fowler, who was the DNC Services Corporation chair, okay? He knows the rules. She knows the rules. In South Carolina, they enacted a law that said candidates on the ballot have to be eligible for the job, and the party has to certify eligibility. Carol Fowler types up the list of names of Democrats entering the presidential preference primary. She gives this memo that she signed to Kathy Hensley, the then state party treasurer. Kathy Hensley walks the piece of paper over to the South Carolina Board of Elections and hands them the list of candidates for the primary. And the board won't take them because it doesn't say on here that anybody's eligible. So you know what Kathy Hensley does? Whips out her trusty pen, puts down the piece of paper, and scribbles all of these, and she copies the language of the statute. This is what you need to write. So she writes it. Now, you tell me when she's standing there in the office of the Board of Elections and they say we can't take the list until you certify the name. You tell me on what basis she determined that any of these people was eligible to get on the ballot. Duh. Even if there was evidence available in the public record, she wasn't accessing that evidence at that moment. How did she determine anybody was eligible? But she signed it. You get him off in one state, he's off in every state. Because what could Boyd Ritchie say when Attorney General Greg Abbott finally asks the question, but tells him, I'm investigating multiple complaints of election fraud. I want you to produce for the Attorney General all the documentary evidence that was the basis for your certification to our election officials that candidate Barack Obama was qualified for the job. Give him the 10 business days that are allowed on the video open records law, for goodness sake. So I'll give you 2 weeks to put it all together. What's Boyd Ritchie going to say to Attorney General Abbott? I took Nancy Pelosi's word for it. It doesn't matter. Do you see, it doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter if he refuses to answer and engages counsel. Any of those outcomes is enough to trigger the House of Representatives, as far as I'm concerned. Now you have the chief law enforcement official of the state asking, all we want him to do is say, give me the record. That's all. You want to pursue criminal, do it on your own. I want you to ask the stupid question or ask for the documents. Because what could the possible outcomes be? Any of them would be enough. If it's anything other than producing the documents that conclusively establish, I've checked and he's eligible, and I knew that before I swore he was. Anything else is articles of impeachment, as far as I'm concerned. And if it's articles of impeachment because of Texas, you know he's not eligible anywhere. Right? So it just takes one state. Somebody on Politico said, well, even if he's kicked off the ballot there, he can still be on. I thought, oh, please. Yeah, and technically, he doesn't have to be on the ballot because the electors can elect him anyway. But I'd like to see that happen. I'll tell you something else, people. People in some states have enacted laws that say, and of course these were pushed by the parties, that say that the electors must vote for the party nominee. That says to, and there have been no legal challenges, even though a couple of times people don't vote for the party nominee, nobody gets punished for that. But the fact that states can enact laws that say that the electors must vote for the party nominee says to me that it's okay to make laws with respect to the work of the electors. So if it's okay to make laws with respect to the work of the electors, let's say they have to vet the candidate for constitutional eligibility. Let's say they can't elect a president who's not on the ballot. You see? So there's a whole other area that opens up. And one other thing that's very, this is a critical, critical thing. In some states, people are willy-nilly, I've had so many people on my blog, and then they go to their state legislature like, oh, let's do this. And then the people come back to me, oh, we're going to do this in our state, as if they can see this. It's the stupidest thing. Why do you need to make more laws? In those states where the Secretary of State is the chief elections official, he or she is responsible for promulgating the rules and regulations to carry out his or her job. So if that state enacted a statute that says that the candidate whose name appears on the ballot must be eligible for the job, then you don't need to make a new law. You need to get the Secretary of State, whoever the chief election official is, it's usually the SOS, to write a rule. Just write a rule. Write a regulation. Here's how we will determine. Do you see what I'm saying, Kate?
Yes, I do. And, I'm just amazed, as always, from when I first started reading your materials, as well as since you've been now on this show. Now, I want to get at the point of this Texas Republican chair.
Okay. All right.
And I remember you... you got a comment from one of your readers who was beginning to take action on that, and could you describe who's doing what and what's happening?
Oh, you read that.
Of course. I read everything you send me.
The guy who said he's talking to a state official.
Yeah, and we've got about 10 minutes left, so update us on that and so forth.
All right. I don't know yet. He hasn't gotten back to me. And I have to tell you something else. This is really, I'm very thick-skinned. I've been through so much. I know what public officials are capable of because I've been the victim of it. So they're trying to intimidate the wrong person. But you know what? You know what PolitiJab actually did as well? This is just really net. Besides calling me a racist, I don't know how they do this because I am not technically sophisticated, and it's all I can do to put up the blog at the same time I'm trying to put up the information while I'm trying to figure out how to put it out. they somehow could figure out how many people had clicked my PayPal button, and they published that. You see? And they were equating, they were making fun of me because they thought it was a low number and you know, this is how good our work is. Well, of course, my work is stellar. It doesn't matter if, you know, I mean, that's not how you gauge whether somebody's work is sound, all right? But I just want you to know that's what they do. So, you know, click on it and don't give, but just, you know, click on it. I want people to, you know, I'll tell you what happens. The more you donate to the blog, the more time I get to spend on this and not have to leave the house and do other things. But you know, that's the kind of thing they do. That's really nasty. But anyway, if there are any questions, like, you know, I don't know anything more about that guy you asked about, but if any specific questions that I can answer in the last couple of minutes.
I mean, it was just basically, wasn't there someone who wrote to officials, basically? So right now, there is, to your knowledge, there is no one pressuring the Texas Republican chair to do this.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah.
Okay, but this is what needs to happen. They need to listen to this radio show. Now, there were a couple of comments, questions in the chat. One asking you to comment on Colonel Lakin.
Oh yes, I'd be happy to, and I'm being very consistent here. You know that I've read the Uniform Code of Military Justice because I was trying to make sure in the fall of 2008 when I proposed a military suit that I wasn't going to get anybody in trouble. So I'm familiar with the code. I'm familiar with Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's case. And I also believe that Barack Obama is legally the President of the United States. So taken together, anyone who thinks that you're going to get discovery it's not. You're not going to get discovery in this case. The case is not going to revolve around whether Barack Obama is constitutionally qualified. That will not even be an issue. The only material issue will be, does Lieutenant Colonel Lakin have the authority under the Uniform Code to refuse an order from a direct superior? The answer is no. Now, the fact that he has a good faith belief that the commander-in-chief is not eligible, he could use that as a defense, but I don't know whether he can use it as an affirmative defense. An affirmative defense says, yes, I did that, but there's a legal reason for that. I don't think this is that. It would be a mitigating factor, but it wouldn't be an affirmative defense. He clearly violated the law. You would not allowed to disobey under these circumstances, that is. The man's legally the president, and you don't get to determine that anyway. So the issue of Obama is not going to come into this. His legality or whether he's constant, it's not going to come into this at all. The issue is, can you refuse the order of a direct superior under these circumstances? And people who want to impute more to this, it's never going to happen.
Okay, I just posted a link to the Uniform Code of Military Justice in the chat, so people could also look at that as well.
Yeah.
Let me ask you to put a little bit. Again, I know you don't like to do generally, but what do you think are our next steps? Now, I want to, of course, support what you're doing here. We are not actually talking about the eligibility. We're talking about process right here and basically election fraud. And this is the back door that probably nobody ever expected might bring us down.
No, mm-hmm. But the problem is, if people don't address this now, it just is going to happen again in the next election.
That's exactly what I...
You have the same stupid laws, and what difference does it make if you enact new laws, and they have flaws and holes and whatever else in them, and you still can't enforce them? What difference does it make?
That's
you have to get them now. You have to make it cost more for these people to ignore you than it would be for them to listen to you. So listening to people who say there's a fraud committed here, which ultimately will result in probably the president having to leave office, that's very costly for an attorney general. But make it more costly. Say, yeah, well, if you don't do something, you're not going to be the attorney general and you're not going to be the dog catcher and whatever. You have to make it, you know, we elected you, you're supposed to enforce the law, and that's what we want you to do. And then if we get closer to the election, you better make sure that your secretaries of state in those states with those laws that say you have to be eligible, that they pass some kind of regulation, which is it's so quick. If you can't get them to do that, you sure as hell aren't going to get legislatures to enact new laws and get them signed in by the governor. Much easier to get a secretary of state who's authorized to manage the elections. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
But you still have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to get an attorney general in one of these states to honor these, and the citizens who haven't checked their laws, goodness sake, check your laws. We only have 6 states now. Alabama's an eligible state, but nobody from Alabama's contacted me to contact the Secretary of State to get the documents to start the process. I have the documents, but I need you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you know, this is just fine, and you basically answered the question because I was going to ask you to project a little bit in the future and advise us about what's next. And
pressure
the
your
last...
state elected officials. What I'm doing is exactly what needs to be done.
Okay, very good. Now I'm going to get everyone to jbjd.wordpress.com. I put up a few of her articles there. JBJD, I would like to have you back again because there's more to discuss, I am sure, and I want to thank you. We have 3 minutes left. I'd like to offer you about a minute or so to just any last thoughts you might have.
Oh, I mean, there's so much, and where do you start this? I want to say something about the blog. The blog, I know sometimes it gets tedious, but the main things that you need to understand about the political process in order to know how people who knew more than you stole it, they're on the blog. They're in comments or they're in exchanges with people who commented. There's so much stuff that I didn't realize, but everything's there. So instead of pursuing individuals who say, well, I can do this and that will be the solution, even if somebody were able to get the birth certificate, for example, from Hawaii, then what? What does that mean? Do you see, it's a whole other arena there, whereas the election fraud is a straight line from that to the House of Representatives. So please, read it in snippets. Read as much as you can and then drop it, but go back to it. You have to understand how the political process works, or people are going to keep stealing your elections.
Well, I want to thank you so much for this and for all of your research and you know, to all of those people who are critiquing you, they don't need to. And
they were wrong anyway.
They are, and I just love it that you can just come right back at them and it doesn't bother you at all. So.
No. I want them to learn. Maybe now they'll look at. A lot of them came to my blog after that, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you, and everybody out
thank
there.
Thank you again, Kate.
Respect yourself and respect what we have right now. Thank you, JBJD.
Oh, thank you. Can you see how many people are on the chat room?
Go ahead. We're lost.
Okay.
Thank you.
armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate? If his people prayed, and those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their wrong ways. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could play, unborn children see light of day. What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed, and those who bear his name would only think
if his people